You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hello, Dandy and definitely daring data darlings. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 40, and of course, I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your magnificent minutia mining minds and mouths.
Yeah.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
I'm Chris.
So there are some things that I want to talk about in our last episode, which is about smells, that I really quickly want to share with you before today's show. And so I found out that the military have been developing and trying to research on using smells as a weapon. And we talked about in our torture episode, Chris, you mentioned about pumping in loud music as some sort of torture or punishment.
Right.
And guess what? The military has been using smells or developing ways to maybe use that as a weapon.
The death odor.
Stink bombs, basically stink bombs on a military scale. They're actually called malodorants, like mal and odorants, have actually been used as far back as World War II. An American scientist developed a stink weapon, and they're trying to use it against Nazi soldiers. And the idea is that they can just spray them with the really bad poopy smell. In recent years, the American military have been looking at ways to detect enemies by smell. So they've hired a lot of scientists in this field trying to maybe find out a way to detect like submarines underwater. And so, yeah, very weird.
Stinky postscript.
Stinky postscript. So today's episode is number 40. Woo! And you guys know what that means.
All quiz.
Yay. All quiz bonanza number 8. Wow, we're up to 8. And so we've each prepared a quiz segment. We're trying to quiz each other. And you guys, the listeners, hopefully you'll enjoy that. But of course, we're going to start with our general trivia segment, which is Pop Quiz Hotshot. Here, I have a random Trivial Pursuit card from the box. And here we go. Blue Wedge Geography. What Scottish castle is the British royal family's longtime summer retreat? Wow.
Hogwarts.
I wish.
Is it Edinburgh Castle?
It is Balmoral.
Oh, that's right. Balmoral. Yep. Okay.
Pink Wedge for pop culture. What game show did Joe Rogan host? Chris Kohler.
Fear Factor.
Correct. Yeah. Actually, I changed it. It was What Gross Out Game Show, and I was like, that's
too easy.
Yellow Wedge. What name was given to the political economic reforms made in the 1980s by Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev?
That was Perestroika?
Yes, Perestroika.
Which meant, well, I think it, does it say on there what it meant?
Nope.
Make something up.
Yeah.
Sounds like that,
the question ends there.
Purple Wedge. In what field of design would you encounter kerning, tracking, and justify? Oh, Colin Felton.
Typography or font design.
Correct. Green Wedge for science. Wow, this card is like made for us. What home video game console introduced in 2006 has wireless motion-sensitive controllers that differentiate it from other gaming systems?
All together?
Wee!
I admire your restraint in not just buzzing in at 2006, Chris.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Of course, the PlayStation 3, also released in 2006, also has wireless motion sensing controllers. Ooh. So, fail Trivial Pursuit.
Actually.
Should write them a letter.
Yeah. Last question, Orange Wedge. Which deck is higher on a ship, the quarter deck or the poop deck?
Poop deck.
Correct.
Yes! I didn't actually know that.
Always been on poop.
Always been on brown.
Good job, everybody. And who wants to go first? All quiz bonanza number 8.
I will go first. I'll go first.
Really? Because some of these words.
Really?
Oh, you think so? To the Dana's first quiz that goes first.
Some of these things relate to the stuff we were just talking
about. Oh, one of my things relates to the stuff we were talking about. But anyway, so go ahead and then I'll.
Okay.
Yeah.
So my quiz is inspired by, lifted partially from a BuzzFeed article, an excellent BuzzFeed article I recommend, called 27 Everyday Things You Never Knew Had Names by Dave Stopera. Think about things
apart.
Things
like a kiss in the dark.
Things
like a sailboat ride.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the night we cried?
Woo!
Things like a lover's bar. Things that we don't do now. Thinking about the things we
So I'm going to tell you the name or a word.
Uh-huh.
And you tell me what you think it means. And most of these you can kind of figure out, but it's weird that there's a word for that.
I love
these.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You ready? Natty form.
In the shape
I actually know this.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. It's in the shape of...
a nut?
Of a butt.
Of a butt. Rhymes with nut.
Natiform?
Natiform.
Butt-shaped.
Yeah. Butt-shaped.
Butt-shaped.
Huh. It is. It is. It's in the dictionary. I looked it up. I was like, why did no one tell me of this word before?
So peaches looks like a butt. Brain kind of looks like a butt, like a weird butt.
Huh.
Yeah.
Natiform.
It sounds like trim spa or some sort of
diet pill. It does. It does, yeah. Natiform. Some diet supplement.
Nope. Means butt.
Darkle.
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 Yeah.
Darkle.
Darkle.
So, yeah, whatever you're thinking, say. Because you might be
playing Balderdash. I'm going to guess it's the
DARPA?
the dark end of a banana.
Does it mean to make something darker?
Yes.
Darkle it?
It's the opposite of sparkle. Darkle.
Whoa!
Darkle? I know.
Make it darkle.
Darkle.
To become dark. Like at nighttime, it's darkle. Yeah.
Huh.
Why can't you just say darken?
Yeah, exactly.
Because darkle.
Because darkle, that's why.
I want there to be an opposite to sparkle. Mm-hmm. What about rhinorrhea?
Rhinorrhea.
I think this one you can maybe dissect and figure out.
Well, rhino is nose. Like,
yeah, rhinorrhea. Mm-hmm. Stuffy nose?
No. Well, like diarrhea.
Runny nose.
Yeah.
Good team effort on that one.
Wow.
Overmorrow.
Is it the day after tomorrow?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Wait, officially? That is the day? That is very old-timey.
It is. So these ones are a little harder to get. You kind of just need to know, but they're awesome words. Zarf.
I've heard this word before.
Yeah. I actually know this because I had a burning curiosity what it was called, and I found out it's called Zarf. I know this as, and I've always called this, a Java jacket.
Yes.
It's that corrugated cardboard ring that you put around a coffee cup. I really thought it was Java jacket.
I think that's a trademark term, isn't it? I think that there's a company, and it's like Java jacket TM kind of thing.
Zarf is such a 90s word.
Zarf.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's like from Thundercats.
Snarf.
Snarf. Snarf. Okay.
Snarf and Zarf.
Two more. Nurdle.
A nurdle.
I love this word. N-U-R-D-L-E.
It's when the day gets nerdier. close cousin of Sparkle and Darkle.
You know what?
Nurkle.
I could write a story about how that's true.
Yeah.
Like, for this definition.
Right.
It's actually a tiny dab of toothpaste.
A nurdle?
A nurdle of toothpaste?
Yeah.
A nurdle?
So you put precisely the amount of toothpaste you need on your
teeth.
Oh, whatever.
See, some of these to me sound like Sniglets. You guys remember Sniglets from the 80s?
Sniglets.
Yeah, they just sort of ad hoc made up words to be funny.
Right.
Yeah. What about Grawlix? Do you know what a Grawlix is?
Is that with I-X? How is that spelled?
G-R-A-W-L-I-X.
Grawlix. Sounds like some sort of farm implement or something.
And I'll tell you synonyms for it.
Oh.
Jarns. Niddles, quimp.
Quimp. I like quimp better.
I give up on all of those.
Okay, when it's an EX, it's usually like body related.
IX.
Is it body related?
No. No, it's like the ampersand, percentage sign, at sign in comics, like when they're feeling frustrated. It's to show.
Swear words.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
wow.
The quimp. The quimp.
Huh.
So they're growling, maybe. The Growlix. All right, that's the words. Darkle and Sparkle. Those are like the names of two ponies.
Yeah.
Sparkle and Darkle.
Or a really bad cop show. Darkle and Sparkle. All right.
That's it.
Very good.
Well, hey, so speaking of the Wii, coincidentally, Nintendo released the Wii U, its new video game console, on November 18th. And video game consoles don't really come out that often because it's a really complicated business. Without going into too much detail, you've not only got to produce the hardware, but you've also got to have this very robust business producing software, like exclusive software for your machine. So you've got to do them both together. And typically the way that the industry has been run is, you know, the company basically just gives away the hardware or sells it at cost or even way below cost and then makes that money up on the software.
A loss leader.
And so you typically, you just don't see a lot of companies making video game consoles, because even though it's a big business and a really lucrative one, it can be very, very difficult. You need a lot of capital to get off the ground. And even if you have all the money in the world, like, you can't necessarily make that ecosystem something that's profitable, loops back on itself. But the thing is, nearly every major toy company, electronics company, at some point, if you're a big multinational corporation that's in either electronics or games or toys, you've tried it.
Right.
You've tried it because you want some of that fat video game loot. And so,
Are we going to have a video game console quiz?
Yes, exactly. Oh. Failed video game console. So I'm going to give you the company.
Nice.
And you're going to tell me the name of the failed video game console they produced. All right. Might be a little bit difficult, but in either way, it's going to be educating.
All right.
Yes.
All
right. It's going to start easy. It's going to get harder.
All right.
Oh, man.
So, Mattel.
What?
This is going to be a tough quiz.
This is going to be a tough quiz. Yeah, I was like, I can't think of any
Belgium or not.
These people are all in the video game industry.
Oh,
Mattel.
Was it...
Colin.
Was it something with Barbie?
No. No. In fact, people who are making this console always complained that they could never get Mattel corporate to let them make a Barbie game. They made He-Man games on this system, and they used other Mattel properties, but they were never allowed to touch Barbie. It was the Intellivision.
No! Because it seems like the right time
frame.
Don't
censor yourself.
I didn't think about that one as a failed system. I thought that was like...
Well, you know, again, they made the one system, they gave it a shot, but then it all collapsed, and they were never able to stay
okay.
in that business. All right,
yeah, let's not censor ourselves. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay. Panasonic.
Was that the 3DO?
That was the 3DO.
Okay.
So the 3DO was actually, it was a company called 3DO, and they licensed, their big idea was, they would make the software and they would license out the rights, like the schematics essentially, to make the hardware platform to big manufacturers. Didn't work because the big manufacturers had to sell it at a big price. So the 3DO cost like $600, $700, $800 versus the PlayStation, which cost $300.
Right, right. I remember it being a really pricey system.
It was super
I didn't realize
expensive
why.
Because Panasonic didn't sell you any software. They didn't have that extra little model to make the money off of. So they had to make the money, and then the retailer took its cut and they priced it like an expensive component.
Interesting.
But yeah, the 3DO.
It was like they were like white labeling it.
Yeah, Gold Star was the other company that manufactured a 3DO.
Hmm.
Philips.
Oh.
Karen.
CDI.
Yes.
Yeah.
Philips
yeah.
made the CDI or CD Interactive. CDI was a format, you know, that was competing with the CD-ROM in the early days. Like, you know, the trade magazines were like, oh, now there's CDI and CD-ROM. Which one of them will win? As it turns out, CD-ROM.
One for a bit.
The, yeah. Magnavox. This was actually the first video game system.
Oh.
What was the name of the first home video game system?
We talked about this.
I know.
Yeah.
Something space.
Oh!
Space Runner,
you're
Space
getting there.
Lander, Moon Attack, Moon Land.
Well, the name of the
system.
Home system. Yeah. It's the Magnavox Odyssey.
Odyssey.
It's the first ever video game system. Yes.
Wait, Space Odyssey or just Odyssey?
No, just Odyssey.
Well, you were taking us down a dark road.
Well, no, Colin was getting there somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
Free
association, you would have got eventually. That was actually the first video game console, but just not a success. It was just sort of over-engineered, very expensive, and then basically a few years later, Atari came out with Home Pong, which was cheap, just did one thing, and it was very mainstream.
Got it.
Nokia. Colin.
The N-Gage.
The
yes!
N-Gage.
The taco
phone.
Very ill-fated attempt to build an early, you know, mid part of the 2000s to build a gamer-centric phone, which had all kinds of problems. The first version, you actually had to open up the battery cover and remove the battery out of your N-Gage to swap out the game cartridge.
That's just good design.
Oh, horrible. Pioneer.
Oh.
Pioneer.
It was wood panels.
I remember the
it played
was
games
it,
on
was boxes. It, I remember the game.
Was
boxes.
It on their Laserdisc platform?
It was, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Do you remember the name of this?
I don't, but I remember.
So it was called the Laser Active.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was the only, well, there was another very obscure one, but it was the major system that actually played games that were stored on Laserdiscs.
Mm-hmm.
And these, you know, these games very early on would have full screen video, basically.
Right.
But of course, the types of games you could play with these things were not exactly exactly.
Great.
Yeah, we had them at school. I remember
it was,
that.
Really?
There was an educational game we played. It was like a mystery thing.
Oh,
I
yeah.
remember that. Yeah.
It was kind of well-suited. I mean, if I remember, it was well-suited to games like Dragon's Lair, right? Where they were
totally.
Really cinematic but simple choices.
I mean, Dragon's Lair was just a Laserdisc video player, and then by picking up, down, left, right, or hitting a button,
he
just took you to the next
right.
video scene.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Milton Bradley.
Oh,
this was an early game system that had its own screen. It had a very different type of graphics than typical video game systems.
Oh, was it the vector graphics setup? What was that called? Oh, God.
It was called the Vectrex.
Vectrex.
Yes.
Oh,
you were
I remember
so close.
That.
Yep.
I remember that system.
It was invented
by Milton Bradley.
Well, it was invented by a company called General Computer, which was later bought by Milton Bradley.
Got it. Okay.
Yep.
What year
yep.
was that?
And that was the one
it was early 80s.
And that one had like its fake little, like a mini arcade cabinet, right?
Yeah, so it looked like an arcade cabinet. It actually had a vector graphics monitor, the kind of graphics you have on Asteroids.
Mm-hmm.
Built in, and so it was self-contained. You just plugged it in and got to play it. Vector graphics, if you look at Asteroids, they were very finely detailed in a way that typical raster scan video game graphics, you couldn't make pixels that small yet, but they were black and white.
It's so funny because, of course, you have your super high-tech companies like Philips or Pioneer, and then you have your game companies all trying to come up with a game system,
mm-hmm.
all kind of intersect at this weird crossroads.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's a major electronics company, they probably tried at some point and failed hard. Apple, not the iPod Touch, but
that was the Pippin.
It was, yes, the Apple Pippin. It was basically sort of like a Macintosh computer that was sort of, you know, made into a game system, and it was actually marketed in Japan mostly.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that was also CD based, right? Or
it was,
disc
yep.
based, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, CD-ROM Pippin
based.
Like the Apple.
Yeah.
Apple
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it.
yes.
Called Fuji.
They didn't call the Granny Smith. Yeah. okay, we're getting harder
Pink
now.
Lady.
Last two.
Oh, we're getting harder now?
Yes, we are. We actually are. Okay. RCA.
Oh.
This is way tough.
Well, the only...
No,
I mean, I'm just trying to think of systems you haven't named yet.
Yeah. The RCA, the old record company, did the RCA Studio 2.
Huh.
It was a video game system, and it was a huge failure. The only controls were number pads, like 1 through 0 number pads built into the console.
I'm already bored with it.
So you had to play Pong by pressing like keys on a calculator.
What year was this?
Terrible.
Was like 70s or
no,
80s?
Yeah, this was late 70s, early 80s.
Wow.
Yeah, it was around the time of the Atari 2600, okay. which just steamrolled it.
To them, the debate about joysticks and like having buttons just for movement. It's still an open question.
Hadn't
been decided yet.
They were
yeah.
like, I like numbers. Numbers
everything
are
everything. Everything was still up in the air. This was when a Pong system had just knobs on the console itself. It didn't have joysticks, right? And finally, again, educational, Memorex.
Oh, my gosh.
Memorex.
Yeah. Like...
The tape.
Yeah, like the tape.
The tape and
yeah.
the memory. Yeah. Oh,
yep.
Man. I don't know.
So it was called the Memorex Video Information System, and it was actually themed around edutainment games.
Mm.
But again, huge,
system. Any
huge
big games
failure.
That came out?
No. No, that was one of them where
not
it was just like
even one.
The whole, I mean, typically a game console, like there'll be like one game at least, you know, even on a failed
right,
console.
Just the proof of concept.
Good. Yeah. some of these, the Memorex video information system. No.
That doesn't
not
even
a
sound
thing.
Like games though.
It was things like,
sounds
like
a research
mystery
tool.
Sherlock Holmes whatever game that you played when you were in school on Laser Active. It was stuff of that nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, that was hard.
That was hard.
And we're children of the 80s.
Yeah.
And
right.
are gamers.
Well, hey, you know,
I had the mainstream
not
one.
Always easy.
My parents bet on the correct console.
Yeah, so many billions of dollars poured into these boondoggles. And now they're not even trivia questions because they're too hard
too,
to be trivia questions.
Too obscure.
They're sub-trivial level.
I like how they were getting harder and it was just like equal level of like, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
I have no idea.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right. Well, let's try and spin the dial around on the ease level here. I have one that I feel confident you guys can blow right through here.
Yeah,
so we're gonna do this
break
one.
Break us down and throw us back up.
It's called What Letter Am I Saying?
What color is an orange. This quiz is called As Seen on TV.
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see, our troubles are all the same.
And so you will be quite rewarded if you know your 80s and 90s sitcoms and TV shows.
Wow, okay.
Oh, that was going to be on infomercials. I was like, oh, sweet.
So the theme of this quiz is many, many, many sitcoms, mostly sitcoms, but other shows too, have a central hangout or a bar or a restaurant where the characters gather. Sometimes the bar or restaurant may be part of the theme of the show. Like,
I
some
like
of the characters
it.
Run it. All right. All right. So I'm going to name the venue... the food venue, and you tell me what TV show from the 80s or 90s it is featured in.
Right.
And I expect this will be sort of lightning round, so get your buzzers ready. So, for example, if I were to say Moe's Tavern, you would say The Simpsons.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Central Perk.
Karen, Friends.
It is the coffee shop on Friends. Monk's Diner. Chris.
Seinfeld.
It is the coffee shop on Seinfeld. For bonus points, do you know what real-life diner they use for the exterior shots in New York?
Is it called, like, the Brownstone something?
It is called Tom's Diner.
Oh, Tom's Diner.
And for extra, extra, extra trivia bonus points, that is the Tom's Diner in the Suzanne Vega song.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
So those are just extra bonus points.
Wait, have you asked, like, what, who
are those
sang
extra
the
bonus
song?
Points
oh, no,
I was just awarding
them out.
Yourself?
Just for the ether. To
just
the
for
ether.
Colin. It's all about build Colin up time.
I got really torn down in that video game quiz.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Now, back to the quiz. All right. The Peach Pit. Karen.
Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah. Correct. And it later morphed into... Do you know the name that they changed it into?
No, I didn't even know they changed it.
Well, so they opened up the nightclub.
It
was, they turned it into Peach Pit After Dark for the nightclub next door.
Okay.
sounds super cool.
Yeah.
Edna's Edibles.
Oh.
Dana.
Is this Facts of Life?
It is Facts of Life. Huh. Yes, Edna's Edibles was Mrs. Garrett's bake shop.
Edna Garrett. Yes.
The Regal Beagle. Dana.
Is this Cheers?
No.
No.
No, Cheers was Cheers.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Wait.
The Regal
I do know
Beagle.
This.
Oh, I know you guys know this.
Oh, I'm going to...
McHale's Navy?
No. It's somebody...
One of the all-time, maybe not best, but classic 70s into 80s sitcoms. It is Three's Company.
Yes!
That was the pub they would all hang out at, the Regal Beagle.
If you asked me what the bar was from Three's Company, I would have known it was the Regal Beagle, but I couldn't back link it.
All right. Well, here's what I'm confident you'll get, Dana.
All right.
The Bigger Jigger. Dana.
Mama's Family.
It is Mama's Family.
The Bigger Jigger.
I love that show.
The Drunken Clam. Karen.
That's Family Guy.
That is Family Guy, yes. The Dragon Clam. The Lobo Lounge. Chris.
Roseanne.
It is Roseanne.
Wow.
Sometimes just called the Lobo. Yeah. Yes, the Lobo Lounge. The Boar's Nest.
Oh, that sounds familiar.
This one was not a straight sitcom, but it definitely had comedic elements.
I don't know.
Set in the South. Chris.
Designing Women.
Not a bad guess. No, not Designing Women.
Dukes of Hazzard?
Yes. Dukes of Hazzard. Right, that's where
Daisy Duke works.
Yep, owned by Boss Hogg. That's right.
Oh, that makes sense. Boss Hogg works with the board.
All right, last one. And this one is a little bit of a trick. Melville's Seafood Restaurant. Little tricky.
Is it the same?
And I'll give you a hint. We did not typically see the interior of this restaurant, but it was featured on a sign inside the restaurant that we would see. That may have made it less hard. Karen?
Frasier.
No, not Frasier.
Sounds like Seattle.
We actually mentioned it earlier. Melville Seafood was the restaurant above Cheers. So in the back of the set, there's the staircase that would lead up to Melville's.
That is
and there's
tricky.
A sign on the wall that says Melville's this
Funny.
Way.
Tricky.
Nice quiz.
Very good.
Good job, guys.
Dude,
yes.
I was sitting here with my finger on the buzzer waiting for the Max.
Oh, the Max.
Yeah.
From what?
Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Karen, you mentioned Frasier. Just for completeness, that was McGinty's, I believe. Good job, guys. Well done.
Wow, that was a good quiz.
The Regal Beagle. Man.
Was that Cheers? No, Cheers was Cheers.
Yeah. All right, time for my quiz. And my quiz is called Quite the Character. Let's do literature. A round of literature.
Banana, literature. Me, my, mo, miniature.
Literature.
Wow, we really saw that one through to completion.
So what I'm going to do is I have some classic literature or iconic popular books. I'm going to read out five characters from the story, from very obscure to very, very iconic.
Okay, so we buzz in as soon as we know?
Yes.
All right.
And at the end, I'll read out all of the five.
Okay. All right.
So I'm going to start reading out characters and tell me what literature work these characters were featured in. Mm. Here we go. Number one, Mustard Seed. Peter Quince. Lysander.
A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Correct. So Mustard Seed is one of the fairies. Mm. Peter Quince was the drama carpenter troop leader. Lysander is one of the lovers. Titania, the queen of fairies. Mm-hmm. And of course, most iconic would probably be Puck.
Right. Yeah. Right. That was good.
Very good job.
Right. Cool. Written by Dan Brown.
That's right.
Bill Shakespeare, Shakus Parari. Here we go. Number two, Atalanta, Castor, Pollux, Medea, and the most iconic is Jason.
So, it's just Jason and the Argonauts? Jason.
Correct.
The
Argonauts. Jason, I didn't know the name of the... Jason and the Argonauts. Okay, Atalanta is the only female crew member of the ship. Mm-hmm. And Castor and Pollux.
I remember Castor and Pollux.
Famous brothers. Medea is Jason's wife. And of course, Jason. Mm-hmm. All right. Here we go. Number three. Cadmus Peverell. Alecto Caro. Colin Creevy.
it just went right
Harry
over.
Harry Potter. And the...
Harry Potter what?
I know.
Please be specific.
It is Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Incorrect.
What? Really?
Is it the last one?
Yes, it is Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
So, I thought Colin Creevy was one year in front of... Oh, the other one? So, okay.
So, Cadmus Peverell is one of the brothers.
Yeah.
Electo Caro is one of the pair that was ruling Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. Colin Creevy made a lot of appearances throughout the whole story.
Yes. Yeah.
My next one was Bellatrix Lestrange. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Harry Potter. I'm glad we didn't have to get to that. All right. Here is number four. A little bit of a classic. Arthur Shelby. Topsy. Oh,
Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Yes! Yeah. Very good! So Arthur Shelby, Topsy, Eliza, Simon Legree, and then Uncle Tom.
Mm.
By
Harry Beecher Stowe.
Correct.
Topsy is less obscure than you think it is.
Yeah, but it's funny because a lot of these multi-cast kind of stories, you either have the really, really minor or you have the memorable. Mm-hmm. So for Uncle Tom, it was like there was nobody really in the middle. Mm-hmm. So obviously Eliza is your main character, but Uncle Tom would be the one that would give it away.
Right, right. Well, I think Simon Legree would give it away, but yeah.
All right, here we go. Clove, Cato, Caesar Flickerman.
Hunger Games.
Correct, Hunger Games.
I did not.
Clove and Cato being the tributes. Caesar Flickerman is the host. Gale Hawthorne is one of the male characters. And of course, Katniss Everdeen, main character.
Actually, I would have been able to get that one. Yeah. That's the only character I know. Just because I've seen the movie
trailers.
But you
went Gale and not PETA.
Yeah, I thought PETA and Katniss were kind of the same level. Here we go. Felix Tholomyès. Gavroche. Oh, I knew it. You know.
Les Miserables.
Yes. Les Miserables. Gavroche. Eponine Fantine and Jean Valjean.
That's Jean Valjean. Yeah. I'm also, pretty sure.
Also, I came out of that show way more miserable than I was going in.
Oh, snap. So this is actually based on Victor Hugo book, not actually the musical. So the first name, the most obscure name I had on my list, Felix Tholomyès, or Tholomyès, is actually the love interest of Fantine. That was never mentioned in the musical, but it is in the book. Mm. Mm-hmm. All right, last one. Here we go. Let's see how this one goes. All right. Grunthos the Flatulent. Frankie and Benji.
God, they sound familiar.
Oh, man, I'm feeling this on every single one except for the Hunger Games.
Trillion.
Oh. This is Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Correct.
Yes.
Grunthos the Flatulent, Frankie and Benji were the mice.
Oh, right, right.
Trillian, the female character. And then I have Ford Prefect, of course, and then Arthur Dent. Yes.
What about Zaphod Beeblebrox?
Very, very iconic, too.
Too easy, too easy. Yeah. That was a good one.
So
that
there
was,
we go. Yeah.
That was great.
Good job, everybody.
It's funny, as you say, like the transition from obscure, 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 well-known.
Yeah.
It's that middle ground. Is mm-hmm. Yeah, that was good.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Everybody shush! William Shatner has something to say.
Cat and Jethro, Box of Oddities.
What do you do when the woman you love dies? Well, of course you dig her up and you live with her.
Aww.
The show examines weird things.
There are plenty of old photographs from this time period of children out in the streets playing in and among the dead horse carcasses.
Oh, I miss those days. Things used to be so much simpler.
Cat and Jethro.
Then there's the urine wheel, which sounds like a really bad game show.
Thing done weird things. Cat and Jethro, Box of Oddities. That is really mysterious.
Join Cat and Jethro Gilligan Toth for the strange, the bizarre, the unexpected, as they lift the lid and cautiously peer inside the Box of Oddities.
The Webby Award-winning Box of Oddities podcast from Airwave Media.
All right, welcome back to Good Job Brain. Today is our All Quiz Bonanza number 8. And who's up now? Whose quiz is it?
I'll go. So, my quiz for you guys should make everyone feel like a winner, I think.
I am not above being condescended to. I'll just come right out and say it.
Give you guys some treat. It's called Real Name, Common Name.
Ooh.
All right. So I'll give you the name, the real name of a cartoon character, real quote-unquote name of a cartoon character.
Based on lore.
Got it.
Sure. And then you give me their more well-known traditional
okay.
name.
Okay.
Oh,
all right.
I can't even think of an example off the top of my head.
Okay, well, we'll start with the extremely easy one. Mm-hmm. Scoobert Doo.
No one wants to buzz.
We even have to say it. Let's just not even say it.
So Scooby-Doo's first name... Scoobert.
Scoobert. Yes.
Scoobert.
Scoobert. I get it.
That's funny. That is the worst. Scoobert.
But it made everyone laugh, so Kitty White.
As Karen has so educated us in a previous episode, it is Hello Kitty.
Edward Bear.
Chris. Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
Oh.
No.
Wow, I did not remember that. All those books, I did not remember that at all.
Edward the Bear.
Edward Bear.
In the book.
Mm-hmm. In the books. Wow.
Why is he called Winnie the Pooh?
That's his nickname.
Because he smells terrible.
But that's so removed.
Yeah. You
know? There was a reason why, but I...
Like Edwin, yeah. Winnie... I
forget. Jeff Albertson.
Oh,
this one is for Colin.
That's a comic book store guy.
Yes.
On The Simpsons.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's fine.
Wow.
Jeff Albertson. Patricia Reichert.
Peppermint Patty.
Yes.
Ah, right.
Patricia Reichert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gordon Shumway.
That sounds familiar.
That's Alf.
Yeah.
Yes. Prince Adam. Karen.
He-Man.
Oh, that's true too. There's another
one.
Oh,
that's what I thought you were going for.
There's
yeah.
another one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Prince Adam. There's yeah. another Prince Adam.
In Disney.
Oh, in Disney?
Yeah.
Oh. Is he Prince Charming?
His nickname is one of the titular characters in this movie.
Huh.
Prince Adam. Hold on.
Oh, is it the Beast in yes. Beauty and the Beast?
Yes.
Oh, funny. Wow.
That's a good one.
Everybody's like, He-Man, He-Man.
But He-Man. Yeah, yeah, Prince Adam of Eternia, naturally.
Right.
That's good.
Ted Shackelford.
Oh, why do I know this? Ted Shackelford.
You might be thinking of Rusty Shackelford.
No, okay. Yes, yeah.
Edward.
There's no nickname. It's he wears something, and that's where he gets his name.
It's the Tick?
No.
Head Shackelford.
Tear my brain out. What is it?
Where's Shackelford?
You should probably just tell us.
So it's from Curious George, the man in the.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Miles Prower.
This is Tails from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes.
His name is Miles Prower.
Yes. Wow.
Yeah.
He's the what
he's
animal?
The fox with two tails.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's the echidna?
Knuckles,
yes.
His name is just Knuckles.
Norval Rogers.
Oh, man. Again, it's like I've heard this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Norval Rogers.
I'll give you a hint. Another character from his cartoon was in this quiz earlier.
Oh, yes, I do know this. Oh. This is Shaggy.
Yeah.
Yes. Norval and Scoobert.
Yep.
All right, we'll go out on a possibly easy one. Casper McFadden.
Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Yes.
And I'd like to add, they actually did not reveal his last name until in the 90s when they made the live-action movie.
Mm.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. A little bit of a retcon there.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job, you guys.
Wow, that was great.
That was fun, yeah.
Scoobert.
Scoobert. I like how Dew is still part of his official name. Right. Yeah. Last name.
Last name.
Yeah, Mr. Dew.
All right. Well, I've got a quiz for you guys called "What's the Difference?"
And I agree. Let's just go home.
Yeah. Who cares? So here's the rub for What's the Difference. I'm going to give you guys pairs of things that are often mentioned in pairs or are often confused for one another or have very slight nuanced differences, and you guys tell me what's the difference.
Okay.
So we'll...
This is a great game show. What's the difference?
We'll try and start easy here.
Okay.
What's the difference between stalagmites and stalactites? That was a tough one. I think Karen.
Well, one grows up and one grows down.
You know which
right,
one's
so
which?
You gotta tell me which is which.
Stalagmites grow down.
Nope.
Oh. Remember. Here's
stalag on the ground, stalac from the ceiling.
Oh, see, no. Well, stalactites hold tight to the ceiling, and stalagmites might grow up.
The reason I put this in is I wanted to hear them. All of our mnemonics for
there
this.
There we go.
Yeah.
So there's one that I've heard is, remember the T in tights, like for top?
Uh-huh.
I've heard that one.
Okay.
The one that my favorite one, though, actually comes from a Dr. Octagon song, which is, mites crawl up, tights fall down. All right. Another one in the similar vein. You can see where I'm going here. What's the difference between a dromedary and a camel?
Always have
this.
Like,
always get this in trivia.
Right. One hump or two.
And yes, I am going for, one hump or two.
Dromedary has one hump and camels have two.
That is correct.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And before you write in and let us know, yes, strictly speaking, it is a dromedary camel and there is a Bactrian camel is what we think about when we talk about the two humps as a Bactrian camel, the one hump as a dromedary. I read a really, really simple mnemonic for this. It's so easy. I can't believe we didn't think about this. If you rotate the first letter on the side, that's how many humps it has. So a dromedary starts with D, one hump. Bactrian camel has two humps in the B.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And they are both, members of the camel family and all that. What's the difference between flotsam and jetsam? For you nautically minded people.
Well, at first I knew them as the eels, the evil eels from Little Mermaid. I didn't know they were actually real things.
They are both types of things that are left after a ship goes down or a shipwreck. Chris.
Does Flotsam sit on the top of the water and Jetsam sinks to the bottom?
Yeah, you're sort of in the, you get partly in the right way. So Flotsam are things that float up after a ship goes down. Jetsam are things that are thrown overboard. Often to keep the ship from going down, or you want to just get them overboard and save them for later. Right.
Yeah.
Flotsam and Jetsam. So, and you can remember Flotsam floats. Jetsam was jettisoned.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh.
All right. What's the difference? This is a linguistic one here. What's the difference between convince and persuade? And this one is contentious. I will
it
acknowledge.
Sounds like, like it came from an argument you had with your wife. Or
I want to prove I'm right.
When you persuade someone, you are attempting to get them to go along with something. When you convince someone, you're proving something to someone. Like
that's essentially right. Like
there's an air of like, proof in
you've gotten them to like believe what you know, like 2 + 2 = 4. By
here's
showing
the simplest
them
way for me to remember it is you convince someone of a fact or a belief. You persuade someone to do an action.
Okay, got it.
And I mean, yeah, and again, you can just remember, you persuade to, you convince doesn't take a to. Now, there are a lot of people who say that the meanings have started to merge, that you can, you know, persuade someone to believe something, but if you're really being strict grammarian about it, that's the difference. Okay. In Catholic belief, what is the difference between the virgin birth and the Immaculate Conception? There are religious people who get this one mixed up a lot. Chris.
The virgin birth is that Mary gave birth to Jesus without being impregnated in the traditional manner.
Correct.
By a dude.
Correct.
The Immaculate Conception is that the baby was born without original sin. That we all have original sin on our heads because of something, but by being conceived in a way so that Jesus, the baby Jesus, was free of original sin.
You are extremely close, and that's what I'll... That's
not being particularly religious, that's pretty good.
The first half, absolutely, yeah. The virgin birth is referred to that Jesus was born without Mary having had intercourse. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The Immaculate Conception refers to Mary having been conceived without sin.
Oh, really?
So when you talk about the Immaculate Conception, you're referring to Mary.
Not the baby.
Not the baby, right. Okay. That she was born or conceived to Saint Anne, her mother, so that later on Jesus could be brought into the world without any
taint of sin whatsoever.
At all.
Right. The Immaculate Reception is completely
there. Yes. All right. We'll close it out here. Last one. What is the difference between a syringe and a hypodermic needle? Chris.
The syringe is the thing that contains the liquid, and the hypodermic needle is the thing that pokes underneath your skin.
Absolutely correct.
Oh!
That's right. Yeah, okay. You could connect the syringe is the
tube.
I just want
to say for the record, Karen knew that too.
Yeah, you could connect a syringe to a tube. You could connect a syringe to other things, and the hypodermic needle is just the little sticky part. Yeah.
The sticky part.
The business end.
Yes.
All right, good job, guys.
All right, great. Cool.
What's the difference?
What's the difference? All right, and that was our all quiz bonanza number 8. Thank you guys for joining me, and thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you got some of the questions right. It was a little bit tricky today, huh?
Yeah, that was a good grab bag of high culture, low culture.
Maybe, you know, maybe they got some questions right that we couldn't get right. Maybe they feel really good about themselves.
And you can find us on Zune Marketplace, on iTunes, on Stitcher, and also on our website, which is goodjobbrain.com. Don't forget to join us on Facebook and Twitter. And check out our sponsor at bonobos.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.